Heavenly Father, when we are faint, when we are weak, help us to mount up with wings like eagles and run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Lord, we thank you for the power, the uplifting power of your Holy Spirit. Please give that to all of us. Some of us in our weariness, as we approach these words, and let them be words of light for us that come from your Gospels and your Holy Scriptures. And dear Lord, thank you for being the Lord of provision, the one who provides. Provide this sermon now. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, more than any of the other Gospels, Matthew really seeks to connect what Jesus is doing to Israel and to the scriptures of Israel, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. As he does this, you would think everyone would immediately recognize him for who he is and claims to be the Messiah, because he's bringing all these scriptures into fulfillment. But kind of the opposite tends to happen, at least for a lot of Israel. They don't see him as the Messiah. And so there's this tension between the old and the new. Nevertheless, Jesus says in 13:52 of our gospel today that he's like an owner that has a storeroom, and he's bringing out new treasures along with the old. One way we might picture that or think about that is the New Testament and the Old Testament, the things Jesus is doing, and then the old things that have happened that he is fulfilling. When I was little, we would often go back. When I was very little, we would go back to my grandparents on my father's side, to their house. Their names Ines and Harley Albert. And we stopped going after a while because they had so much in their house. They loved to go to flea markets and antique stores. And every weekend they would buy things. They were always really cool antiques. And they would eventually, they had so much that we had to stop going because we literally couldn't go in the house. They had a little walkway that I remember we used to go through. And there was a little place where you could kind of congregate with a few chairs. And we would open things on Christmas morning there. A shoebox of various things my grandmother had bought. And then eventually, like I said, we started having Christmas at my great uncle and aunt's house, which they did. They weren't collectors in any way like that. But when they passed away, then we went through everything that they had in the house. And all those were old treasures because they were antiques. But they were new to us. And so it was the new treasures along with, as well as, the old. You know, I wonder if one of the new treasures that Jesus is bringing along with the old is his kingdom, right? We talked about his kingdom, you know, for as long as there's been church, there's been sermons on the kingdom. All the passages today in the scriptures are about the kingdom of heaven, and various things are being compared to it and so forth. Jesus is still, though, alive and well and living and moving and doing new things. So even though this is an old kingdom we've been talking about for a long time, Jesus is still bringing new things and showing us new things from it. Just like we pulled new things out of that house that was new to us, but that were really old in age. In today's parable, it says the parable of the net. This is actually the parable of the dragnet. And a dragnet was a really special kind of net. It had floats on top. of the net, and then it had sinkers or weights on the bottom. And that way, when you dragged it through the water, you would have the maximum amount of width to get as many fish as you could. And what they would do is they'd take two boats. People in the boat would hold one side, and the people in the other boat would hold the other. And then they would, and some would row, and they would move that net along like that, fully stretched out in both its widths, to get as many fish as they could. That's the dragnet. And then in verse 13:47, it says in the parable that they caught all kinds of fish. All kinds of fish. And it would, because it's at every level, right? According to how deep the water is that they're fishing in at that time. All kinds of fish. I wonder if one of the new treasures that Jesus is bringing out, that's really an old treasure, is this word called ecumenical. Or the ism of it is hard to say. I've been practicing it. Ecumenism. I won't say that again. But ecumenical is a word we know. And it means that Christians of all different denominations, of all around the world, of all places and walks of life, share together in unity as one body in Christ. A very old idea. It goes back to Paul, the body of Christ and the gifts and all that. But it's also kind of a new and fresh idea, because there's so many differences that separate us in this world today. And Jesus is calling us, it seems to me, in the parable of the dragnet, to celebrate all those uniqueness and differences in all the kinds of fish that are brought in. You know, catfish are not kosher according to Jewish law. And Jewish law says that you can eat fish that have fins and scales. And catfish, which is, by the way, one of the types of fish they would have caught in the Sea of Galilee in that dragnet, they don't have fins and scales. They have barbs, and if you've ever held one, really slimy, smooth skin. There's no scales to discern in any way. Nonetheless, they were caught in the dragnet. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and says, you know what? Those used to be off the menu. Now they're on the menu. Now you can eat them. We've talked a lot about this passage. It keeps coming up. It's interesting in my sermons. It's not something I really plan about, but there it is. And that's Peter's vision of this giant net. And in the net is all these animals that are unclean. You name it. Catfish could have been in there. Crustaceans. On and on, all kinds of stuff. Things that eat, like birds of prey that eat blood and things like that. Anyways, all that stuff. And the voice from heaven says, rise, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord, I would never eat those things. And Jesus says, or the voice says from heaven, what I have called clean, do not call unclean. And so here Jesus comes to bring new treasures out of the old. The new idea that all of these things are clean, that we can eat. All of these things that used to be off the menu are now back on. You know, Maggie and Finn and I like to go fish. And we fish Grandma and Grandpa Albert's pond a lot. You've seen, if you're friends with me on Facebook, a lot of the pictures that you get from me are fishing ones, and a lot of them are from that pond. The fish that we catch are from that pond. And Maggie, though, recently caught a different type of catfish that we had not seen nearly as much as the normal type that we've seen, which is kind of speckled gray and black. It's usually the types that we catch there. But this one was all dark green. And Finn looked it up and said it was a channel catfish. And so we found a different type of catfish than those that we normally catch. And so I think in our society today, there's so many things that separate us and so many differences. And that oftentimes we hear that those are bad. Jesus comes to say that they're not, that they're good, that all these differences are good. And there's so much difference in all the things that he makes. Talk about the dinosaurs. Look in the animal kingdom, right? Look in people. So many differences, and that's a good thing. Some of the new treasures that Jesus brought along with the old, besides what we mentioned already with the diet, was Gentile inclusion. Gentiles weren't really a part of the story of salvation until Jesus came along in the flesh and started welcoming them to do that. That's a new treasure that comes out along with the old. Both the old might be the Jewish people, the Hebrew scriptures, and we're going to bring some new people too, the Gentiles. New ways of looking at scripture. We talked about how scripture is treasure, right? In Genesis 22, Abraham places the wood on Isaac, his son, who walks up the mountain to use that wood for the sacrifice, which is actually himself. And, you know, that used to be a scripture that we just looked at in terms of that. But now in the light of Christ, how many more layers of meaning does that have? The only son, right, who carries the wood up the hill, and he becomes the sacrifice for it. New treasures out of the old. We think there were 20 different kinds of fish in the Sea of Galilee, and that dragnet would have caught them all. And Jesus says they're all clean. They're all on the menu to eat. In the parable, we are actually the fish. We are the fish in there. We're not the fishermen. We're the fish. And the text clearly says that the fishermen are the angels in 13 verse 49. And we know that. We know what they are. And so, until the angels come and do what they're going to do, right? In the meantime, we're called to be ecumenical, to welcome those that are different from us. In Luke 9:49 and verse 50, it says this, Master, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop them because he is not one of us. And then verse 50, do not stop him, Jesus said, for whoever is not against you is for you. There's many other verses, especially in Paul, but this is one I think that really calls us to remember that, hey, if there's people out there loving the Lord and they're different than us, don't stop them. Encourage them and welcome them. You know, at Grandma and Grandpa Albert's pond that we fish at, Mamma and Papa, they call them, you know, the catfish are down at the bottom typically. And so when we fish for them, we'll take our bobber and move it up the line. We'll have a little corn, piece of corn or something on there. So it goes down to where they're at, right? When we fish for bass, we do lures that tend to go in the middle, kind of a mid-level of the water. And then when we're fishing for the bluegill, especially the young ones, they tend to be up top doing stuff all the time on the surface of the water. Then we'll fish that with things that float for them to hit up there. But the net brings them all in, regardless of all their differences and where they choose to be in the water. The net brings them all in, and Jesus calls them all clean. I found a story this week of Plato. He was a philosopher, lived in the ancient times BC in ancient Greece. And he had a disciple named Aristotle that he taught and passed on his wisdom to. And Plato actually died at a wedding feast as an old man sitting in his chair enjoying the fun of the wedding feast at 80 years old. And Aristotle reflected and said that his death was an image of the new meeting the old, of the generous quality of Plato's philosophy as it brought to bear the rich past of the things he had taught with the joys of this life. And he saw this as a moment of kind of passing the torch in the old and the new together as one, and celebrating that in joy. You know, one reason I think that we're so divided today in so many different ways, whether it be Christians or, just people everywhere, people in the United States or globally or all the divisions that exist, has to do with the mall. The mall has been our model. We're consumers. We've been shaped and formed to be that in everything that we do, even church. That's not really how God designed it, right? I got from the website, I got a submission this week from a guy, and he didn't greet me at all at the top. He just wanted to know answers to four questions that he put in there. Things like, do you accept and welcome Calvinist theology? And what do you think about people that are from AFLC that live in Kentucky? Would they be welcome at your church? And I can't remember the others. But when I wrote him back, I said in the opening paragraph, regardless of about how you feel about these answers that I'm about to give you, come and worship with us. Come and dwell in community with us and worship God together with us. Because, again, we've been so dialed in to, as consumers, this is what we want. But what if we don't know what we really want, right? What if what we want, God is providing right here for that person, but he misses it because I didn't give him an answer he liked, right? He didn't find the perfect thing to select, like from the mall. And he missed the wonderful fellowship of believers here at St. Mark's together, where he would have been a perfect fit in God's gracious timing and wisdom. I think that goes a long ways to talking about the differences that separate us. We're always going to have differences. There's so many differences between you and me and you know, congregate to congregate or whatever, in terms of things we believe, even about Christianity. And that's okay. Right? And all kinds of other things too. We're always going to have differences. But what if we begin to see these differences kind of like my grandma and grandpa's house, as new treasures. New treasures that are there with the old. New things to discover. You know, just like when we went through that house and we found things and we're like, oh my gosh, this is incredibly cool. I had no idea that this was here. That's what Jesus compares himself to, a householder who has a storeroom and brings out new treasures with the old. And we do the same thing too as we think about new and old and like and unlike. Amen.